Rabbi Berger is here, and he's going to be answering questions also.
Good afternoon, everyone. I think the topic today is halachic issues that arise in a kiruv setting. And I'm sure a lot of the speakers and Rabbi Porter already discussed a lot of the issues that I'm going to discuss. And but Yisrael Shem will try to say something that you haven't heard. I'm sure the whole day you've heard the importance of kiruv, the achrayus that we have to our brothers and sisters. And that it's the ratzon of Hashem that we have to try to be makariv them, bringing closer to Hashem. The title itself really gives away what the shir is all about. Is that halachic issues that arise in a kiruv setting. That as much as we've heard today that you have to go and be makariv people and so on and so forth, but it has to be done within the realm, within the boundaries of halacha. We have to do it in the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do it. Our hishtadlis, our efforts have to be within the guidelines of halacha. We might have some glorious ideas that might really look like they'll be successful, more successful than mahalchim that are being used. But if they're not in the guidelines of halacha, then that's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do. We've seen this in history, we've seen this in Navi, where Shaul HaMelech was told to destroy all of Amalek, men, women, children, animals, and he thought he had a better idea on his madrega, and he was a Melech Yisrael. He thought that he'll use the animals to bring karbonis to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that'll even be better. But it's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to do. So Shmuel HaNavi approaches him after hearing the noise, the sound of the animals, and he says, "Hinei shemor mizevach tov." Just listen to the words of Hashem. That's better than all the karbanos you could bring. Lakshi mechelev elim. Just listen to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do. So that's why, that although yes, we have to go out, we have to be makariv and so on and so forth, but it has to be done within the realm of halacha. And therefore, sometimes we might be limited in what we're able to do. But that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. Just to listen to what he was telling us and be makariv within the guidelines of halacha. The truth is that many times the non-frum are impressed by our personal spiritual integrity. Just realizing, just seeing that we are steadfast in our ways in a normal way, and not wishy-washy like everybody is today in the world. If you change one day, change another day. That itself is something which is very impressive. It doesn't look impressive at first, but when they start to think about it, they say, this person is really serious. I know of someone who he came to America from Eretz Yisrael to get away from Yiddishkeit, and he just happened to move into an area where there were a lot of different people by accident, and he happened to move to Muncie. And now he's from his Trona learning in Kolom, and he was really anti when he lived in Eretz Yisrael. And he said what really did it was because he said they're so steadfast in their ways. They just, you know, they didn't budge. And that really impressed him. At the same time, we have to be practical, and we have to be very careful not to ruin people's feelings and when we happen to bring them to our house, exposing them to new ways. And there's a certain sensitivity which again has to be used within the guidelines of halacha. There are neshamas that are at risk, and we're dealing at a very crucial time, as I'm sure you've all heard today many times over. And therefore, there is reason not to really use so many chumras that maybe we're used to. And sometimes you might have to be a little bit more mako in certain issues. Just like when you have a piece of meat, the poskim say you could be more mako when there's a hefsa merubo and there's a great loss. Within the guidelines of halacha, we recognize that when there's a great loss, these neshamas at risk, sometimes we have to be a little more mako about certain issues. So it's a delicate balance, which life is all about how to balance being medatik in halacha and following the guidelines of halacha, and at the same time being makari people and being mashpi on them. And that's a very delicate balance. And that's totally on the zman, the mokum, the people involved, And it's something which one cannot really judge on their own. And therefore, the basic rule I'm going to say today is one has to have a Rav to ask their shalas to discuss the issues with, someone who understands them, who understands the issues that they're dealing with, to know how to apply it. Because these are not halachas that you're going to find in your Kitzur Shulchan Aruch and even in your Mishnah Berurah or in any other svarim that might be used. These are things that, these are very difficult issues that one really has to discuss with a Rav. So, at the same time, a person, after hearing what I just said, will say, listen, you know, this, why do I have to get involved? You know, I tried to be metatik in halacha, and I know if I'm going to get involved in Kiruv, then I might have to rely on certain kulas and certain other issues of that nature. And, you know, maybe it's just not, it's not worth it. Well, that's also not the proper hashkafa. Life is full of challenges. And the easy way is not necessarily, is usually not the right way. And we have a challenge in front of us. We have to be makariv from the realm of halacha. It's a delicate balance, but that's what we have to do. I know of a Hasidic Rav in Eretz Yisrael, who is a sefer, is right now here on this gender. And when the Russians first came to Eretz Yisrael, there were, amongst the firm, there were those that didn't want to get that involved, even rent their house, their apartment to them because they didn't keep kosher and had them move into the firm neighborhoods. Because of all the halachic issues. And he wrote a whole tshuva that was printed and publicized that's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do. That's the Yetzer Hara. We have to follow halacha, but we have to know how to apply it. And that shouldn't get in the way of our own personal kiruv. So I'm really not going to discuss a lot of intricate issues in halacha. I'm going to be very general. And the idea is just to open up our eyes that we'll be able to ask the proper questions to our own personal Rav. I'm going to discuss the Shabbos setting, the Shabbos table, which is the main center of Kiruv for many of us. And step by step, we'll see the different halachas that we could that apply. So they come into the house, your guest, your special guest, and you're about to say Kiddush. Now, when it comes to wine, I'm sure many of us know wine that's produced by goyim is treif. This of stam yinam, according to many poskim, is even usur b'hana. It's certainly one's not allowed to drink it. And the reason why Chazal asked is because of chasanus, that if one drinks goyish wine, you start to be friendly with them, and eventually there's a hispolus and an intermarriage, and this is what we've seen in our own eyes, in our own times. So Chazal asked goyish wine, and even kosher wine that was moved or poured or handled in certain ways by goyim, you're not allowed to drink that wine anymore. I don't want to get into all of the intricate details if it's closed or not closed. That's something one has to discuss with the Rav. Now, Chazal were not machmir if the wine was already mevushel, if it was cooked. A lot of times you see in the bottle it says mevushel. Once it was cooked, according to halachic standards, it was cooked, then this isser of stam yinam and the goy touching it and moving it and pouring it and so on and so forth no longer applies. And that's why, as a preventative measure, it's very important that when you're having non-firm people by your house, that one should make sure that the wine is cooked. Now, you probably noticed that I jumped, and we're talking about goyim, and now suddenly discussing non-firm people. I mean, they're Jewish, and they're definitely Jewish. And Chazal say, no matter how great a sinner might be, I'll be shechata yisrohu. But it might hurt us a little bit, but we have to understand that for many halachas, if someone is a machal shabbos before hesia, Chazal considered them, the Torah, someone considers them a goy. They still have to keep the mitzvahs personally, but for many halachas, they have a din of a goy. Now, already in Europe, there was discussion, what about this new type of entity of someone that grew up in not knowing so much about Yiddishkeit, not being exposed to proper Yiddishkeit, thinking that it was just a firm kite, chumras, or just being scared about it. And therefore, they're like a tinuk shenishba, they don't know any better. And maybe even in that case, they're not considered like a goy. And this is an ongoing discussion amongst the Gedolim today. But to make a long story short, certainly lechatchila we try to make sure that our wine is cooked. If the wine was not cooked and a non-frum guest happened to handle it, one should ask a shaila. But as a preventative measure, which sets a lot of this, you can always prevent the problems, the issue, is always make sure that your wine is considered halakhically cooked. It says mivushal on the bottle. We're about to say Kiddush, and some of our female guests might not necessarily be dressed properly, especially in the summertime, and the truth is even in the wintertime. And the halacha is that a man is not allowed to make a bracha in front of parts of a woman's body that's usually supposed to be covered and it's revealed. Tefach b'isherva, that a substantial amount of the body of a woman's body that's covered is considered an erva, and one's not allowed to make a bracha, say Hashem's name, or say Divrei Torah in front of it. A woman can, but a man is not allowed to say that a bracha, any davar shebekedusha, in front of something which is considered erva. Now, when it comes to singing zmiros by itself, singing Yom Zemechubad and so on and so forth, that's not considered a davar shebekedusha. They're very holy, they're very special. But zmiros is giving praise to Hashem. We say modani in the morning, even though our hands are still dirty. That's not considered a intrinsic davar shebekedusha. But saying a bracha, or even saying Hashem's name, within the context of psukim or whatever it might be, that already is considered a davar shebekedusha. Certainly when we're about to say Kiddush, and we have an issue. How can we say it if someone is not dressed properly? So the simple way to deal with this issue is just not to look. And even though that they're in front of you, they're there at the table, but the time that you're saying Kiddush, you're looking down at the bench, you're looking at the wine, you're not looking at them, you're looking at the challahs, it is not looking at that area on their body, then it's not an issue. Sometimes it's difficult to not see, depending on how many people, where they're sitting. So the idea is that as long as you don't pay attention to it, you don't concentrate on it, then it's fine. The more you don't see, the better. But again, you have to be practical and you have to be normal. And the idea is just don't, one should not look. This discussion already, these issues happened in Europe already. These are not new issues. And there's a Rav that was asking Masadar Kiddushin, and he came up to the chuppah, and the collar wasn't dressed properly, and he took a talis and he put over his whole head. So, because he didn't know, he wanted to make the brachas, and he couldn't make the brachas. This came to one of the great gedolim of Europe, the Narya Parsimon, who said that you shouldn't do weird things in front of people. That's not the right hanhaga. And he said, just go and look down, and that's fine. As long as you're not looking at the time, then it's fine. So that usually, and it takes sometimes a little training, but usually it works out just fine. It's really not, as long as you're not paying attention, and certainly when you're not looking, then it's, you can still make your brachas and your kiddush and sing with Hashem's name. Now we're going to be giving out wine, we're going to be giving out food. The question is that there's a halacha of lifniva velotzit lositein michshol. It's one of these surim in the Torah we discussed in the parsha from last week, that we're not allowed to cause others to do Isurim. We can't cause someone to do an Avera. So the issue is, that's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, that it should be usur to go and give someone food to eat when they're not going to be making a bracha on that food item. Because you're not allowed to eat without a bracha. Here I'm giving them some food to eat and they're not making a bracha, so I'm causing them to do an Avera. And this is a very famous issue that is discussed, and anyone involved in Kiruv deals with this issue. And the truth is, in a Shabbos setting, it is not such a big issue, because you're saying Kiddush for everyone anyways, and they're there, even though they might not know the exact details that I have to have Kavanah to the Yotzi, but that's not a problem. You know, they were there, they heard Kiddush, it's fine. Even though they might talk afterwards and everything, we don't make a big deal about it. They heard Kiddush, they drink the wine, they eat hamotzi, they eat the bread, that'll take care of, you know, everything throughout the meal. The problem comes up when sometimes it's not in a Shabbos type setting. and you just have them over, you're not having any bread or whatever it might be, or it's not something which you're saying a bracha out loud. So there are different ways to deal with this. An easy way is the truth is that the ultimate way is to tell them that you're making the bracha for them. I was once by a very chashuv rabbi in Yerushalayim, who he was being visited by someone from Europe who he never knew before, who was not from, and I was a translator between him, from Hebrew to English. And he goes and he makes, the secretary brought in tea, and this person wasn't even wearing a yarmulke at the time. And this Rav went and had me translate and say, "Here, hold your cup of tea, and I'm going to make a bracha for you." And he asked him if he had a yarmulke. He said, "Oh, yeah, I have a yarmulke in my pocket." And it went incredibly smoothly. Now, this this is the ideal, but as we all know, those involved in Kiev, that sometimes just you scare people away. This could be overwhelming at first, and that's not what we want to do. So therefore, it's very important to know how to handle it. So usually, certainly, when you're first getting used to Yiddishkeit, we cannot do something like that. And therefore, the other eitzah is to say the bracha out loud. Say you're eating cookies. Just say Brei Mezonos out loud. You know, and they, even though they didn't have kavana to be yotze anything, that's fine. As long as they heard the bracha, that's fine. If even that would be too extreme could have a potential scare them away, if by not giving them food and not feeding them and in that type of setting, that itself would scare them away and give a bad impression, then certainly the halacha is that you can give them food even though they're not making a bracha. Next, we start to sing Zemiras, and as our reporter already discussed, a lot of times our female guests are going to start singing Zemiras.
Feel free to give an alternative.
Yeah, okay. So the truth is, so they're singing, you know, what do we do? You know, so the answer is that basically what I mentioned before is Rabbi Porter discussed, should we tell them to sing or not to sing? I'm discussing what should we do. We just don't pay attention to it. You try to sing loud, try to get your wife to sing, but the idea is just put your mind off of it. Just as long as you're not paying attention to it. It's not like you're sitting there listening to a singer. And in that type of case, we hold it. It's all right. Just don't pay attention. And if you know if they need to sing, then fine. And then we deal with it one step at a time. Same thing by saying Divrei Torah at the table. They might not be completely, might not be dressed properly. As long as you're not paying attention to that part of the body. You know, you just have to be turning your head back and forth. You're looking around. You're being normal, but you're not concentrating anything. Then you're allowed to say the Divrei Torah, the Vort and the Parsha, whatever it might be. Comes time for benching, and there is, you want to know, can you be mitzaref these people for mezumen? There's you and your son, and then there's this non-from guest. And the halacha is you can, even though he doesn't know how to answer, doesn't know Hebrew yet, you can be mitzaref him to the zimun. Whether he answers or not, you know, is as long as someone's answering, your son or another male guest would answer, even though he's just sitting there, but he's your third person, he can be part of the zimun. I just want to add one last point, and that is inviting them to your house. That they might be driving to your house, that they know where they're living, that they're going to be driving to your house. Another, this is a very, very big issue. That is, at least me, I'm causing them to drive to my house. So this is a very involved topic. I had a chavrusa, they worked on this topic for 3 months straight till 3 a.m. And after he felt that he was comfortable with it, he went to the many gedolim in Eretz Yisrael to discuss this issue with them. So it's a very, very involved, complicated issue. But to make a long story short, the general halacha, I guess once you discuss this with the Rav as far as the specific application, the general halacha is that as long as they're given an option to not to have to drive, to be able to stay by your house, to put them up, even though you know they're not going to necessarily take you up on that option, but they have a way, it's not an invitation of pure Chilul Shabbos, then we say that it's not considered lifnei iver, to make a long story short. But again, as far as the exact application, one should always discuss these issues with the Rav. We should all be zocha in the be medaktik in the halachas, in our own personal halacha, and that itself would be a zuchus and a siyat ishmaya that we're able to overpour on our guests, on our brothers and sisters. We should all be zocha to the heishiv levavos al banim, lebanim al avosim.
The question I'm having is the person lechachila. So if this guest is coming to one's house, is it presumptuous on us to have your own Ishus Chayil kind of tell the guest to dress like they say in invitations in Orthodox tradition?
Again, this is Hakolafi Adam Vamelkum and the person involved. You have to know who you're dealing with.
Well,
you have to know, are they young? Are they old?
If
are they?
You want to invite someone into your home, and that basically, you know, dulling the pain, which is what you're hurting their feelings at my expense. If I want to carve something in my home, I said just come dressed with a shawl or modestly. So now, why would they be in my house in the first place, not dressed modestly? If they're my guest. But now, if this is put on you, somehow it's put upon that last minute, it's the only place they can go, and this is how they dress, I'm asking if you turn your head, you're saying that would hurt that person's feelings?
Right. Obviously.
I'm asking how lucky they are, the book time brought a whole big shmoo on poverty brought to your house by making a bracha in front of the air room. So for me to just close my eyes and still have the air room in front of me, or should I just turn this way? And
yeah.
That's how I get to,
you have to be very sensitive to their feelings. As far as telling him how to dress, that's something which is going to be, you know.
Can I give you a little simple idea? Yeah. The simple say to it, and it's very romantic, is you turn to your wife and you make kiddush facing your wife. And it looks so sweet. Nobody knows it.
Thank you, Harry Potter. What? Okay, whatever. Okay.